Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Sotram, sotram, sotram. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thanks be unto God, which always giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God for this wonderful moment as we could all come into the presence of God as New Jerusalem Church and wait in His presence for the Word of God. As the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are times in our life, as we read Psalm 136, that what we see or what we desire or what we want or what we would like to possess is not going to satisfy us or provide for our needs. We read in Psalm 136, as we read from the first verse to the last verse, God planned everything for His children. The Israelites did not plan their future, but God planned their future. In the book of Romans, we read the Lord God Almighty saying unto Pharaoh, for this cause raised I thee up, Pharaoh, that my power may be manifested in all the earth through you. And then God speaks unto the children of Israel and introduces them to Pharaoh, saying, these are the vessels of mercy, vessels of glory that I have prepared before the foundation of the world to share my inheritance. God told Pharaoh, I have raised thee up to manifest my power. And God told the children of Israel, I have raised you up to share my power. There is a difference between God choosing a person to manifest His power and God choosing a person to share His power. And we saw that in the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea and shared His power with His children by giving the authority to Moses, the man of God, to split the Red Sea. Hallelujah. The children of Israel can go forward. At the same time, God used the authority that He gave to the man of God by sharing His power to manifest His power in the life of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh and his army perished at the Red Sea and they became nothing. And today Egypt is the basest or the poorest of all nations. In the first part of Psalm 136, God reveals Himself as the creator, and then He reveals Himself as the commander, and then He reveals Himself as the provider, and then He reveals Himself as the satisfier. And this was in the Old Testament. And we are not in the Old Testament. We are not walking the same desert that the children of Israel walked. We are walking in a spiritual desert. What kind of desert it is it? A desert we see in which those who claimed to be strong men of God have fallen. Those whom we think are powerful men of God are weak in the spirit. All over the world we see heresy and falling away. But Apostle Paul warned in the book of Timothy that the coming of Christ, the rapture, will not take place unless there is a falling away first. The book of Revelation talks about this falling away and says Satan, through his tale and through his deception and his lies, by twisting the word of God, will cause one third of the stars that shine in the heaven to be tossed to the earth. Where does this all lead to? We have come to the last days. A few hours, a few seconds, a few days, a few years left before the trumpet sounds. The Bible says men will live in heresy, in unfaithfulness, marrying and giving in marriage, and everything will be business as usual until the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes down in the clouds and the church, the body of Christ, is taken up. But as we approach the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture and the gathering together of the saints, the body of Christ, into His presence, We need to understand that Jesus will begin to purify us. In the book of Malachi, it says, and he will begin to sit down and purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer a sacrifice unto God that is pleasing. What the Bible says is God is going to take us through a refining fire. Even as he took Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego through a refining fire before he promoted them. Even so, before God promotes us to the right hand of God in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be a fire. The fire is not going to be meant for destruction, but it is going to be meant for purification. We need to understand, though, that when that happens, and as if some of us are walking through it, we need to understand one basic concept. God is not only the provider, but God is also the creator. Hallelujah. God has revealed himself in the Old Testament as the provider. God has revealed himself in the New Testament for the last 2,000 years as the provider. But thus saith the Lord, even as my son is coming down to take my children home and rapture them and bring the bride back to the throne where they belong, even so I am going to manifest myself as the creator of all things. I have revealed my glory, I have revealed my power, I have revealed my provision, and I have revealed myself unto thee, my children, by many names, but now will I reveal myself unto thee as the creator of the universe. Balashya Pramoto Bela Karashandi Birityora Bakiana. Let us read Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 to 20. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 to 20. Praise the Lord. Yeah, 41, sister. Sorry. Isaiah 41, verses 17 to 20.
As the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none, and their tongue will make it to God, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the world in high places and mountains in the midst of the valley. I will raise them in the name of full of water and dry land strip of water. I will plant in the wilderness Israel, and Israel tree and the vetiver and olive tree. I will set in the desert the fig tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done it, and the Holy One of Israel has created it.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. In Isaiah 41 verse 17 to 20, this is what we read as Brother Anand read, inspired by the Holy Spirit. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them, I the God of Israel will not forsake them. Now the question is, Lord, why do you take us through this path? And this is the question that many children of God ask. Lord, why does God take us through a path where the time comes when there is no water? It is as if we had little water and little water and little water, and 3 days have passed and there is nothing. God takes us to a situation in our spiritual life where nothing is left. It may be a financial nothing. It may be a physical nothing. It may be an emotional nothing. But God takes us to the point of zero, zilch. Why? Because when God, in ages past, trillions and trillions and zillions of years before we were born, when there was nothing, when there was zero and zilch in the universe, there was nothing except God and Him alone, He created out of nothing, everything. So in these last days, as we approach the coming of Christ, the needs and challenges are going to be like never before. But that is the reason that God is saying that He is not just going to reveal Himself as the provider who provides with the things that we see, but He's going to reveal Himself as the creator with the things that do not exist and the things that we cannot see. And that is why Abraham called Him God and said, "Thou art God who calleth the things which be not as though they were." Hallelujah! And when God says that it is and I will bring it unto you, it will appear. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, God says, "I will create water." We do not know how to create water. We do not know how to combine hydrogen and oxygen and make it into water. And we do not know how to create hydrogen and oxygen, but God knows how to do it. And God is saying, when I manifest myself in your life as the creator, I am going to do things that will beat and challenge the scientists and will be contradictory to the scientific laws that were made by man. Because I, God, am not subject to the laws created or put in place or discussed by Albert Einstein or Newton. I am God who created Newton and Einstein, and I have my own laws which will defy all the laws of science, because I am God and you are man. I will open rivers in high places. Rivers do not open, or rivers do not run in high places, because they need a low place, a low ground. But God says, "I will open rivers in the top of Mount Everest. And I will make the wilderness pools of water." There are no lakes or oceans in the wilderness. It is a dry, white, brown sand. But God says, "I will create lakes in the wilderness. And I will make fountains in the midst of the valleys and the dry land springs of water." And then God says, "I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree." And we know that these things are very hard to grow in good soil, let alone in the desert. If God said, "I will go ahead and make the palm tree to grow in the desert," we'll say, "Well, wait a minute, you know, palm trees and dates do grow in the desert. There's nothing miraculous about them." But when God says, "I will grow the cedar and the pine and the oil tree in a dry desert and the myrtle tree and all these things," then He is God and He is creating it. And in verse 20, God says that they may see and know and consider and understand together the Lord God of Israel hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. God takes us to a point in our life, as in Isaiah 41, 17 to 20, that we may come to a point where we cannot rely on anything that exists, and our only hope is in God, who creates out of nothing that which does not exist, who calleth the things which be not as though they were. In these last days, we will begin to see the creative power of God in our lives. Sometimes we time the answers to our prayer and say, "You know, when this happens, when it gets to this point, I would like to have the intervention of God." But God waits. God waits. God waits until all hope is lost in everything material. All hope is lost in everything physical. All hope is lost in everything financial. And when all hope is lost, it happens as it was in the days He was on this earth. "Lord, your brother whom you love is sick and is about to die. So come and lay hands on him that he may live and not die. Please come quickly, Lord Jesus." And the Bible says that when Jesus heard this word, this message, He waited a few more days. And then He told the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, and let me go and wake him out of sleep." and when all hope is lost. How do we know that all hope was lost? Because Mary and Martha met Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, all hope is gone now. He is dead. But if you had been here, Lord Jesus, before he died, you would have been able to heal him. They knew Jesus as the healer, but they did not know Jesus is the resurrection and the life, the creator of life. Hallelujah. And God had to create an incident in the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus so they may know, I, Jesus Christ, am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Jesus had preached, they that are dead in the graves and nothing left but bones and nitrogen and phosphorus shall come forth. But they did not understand until Lazarus came forth and Jesus said, open the stone. And Lazarus came forth. This is a commandment and this is a message to us from the throne of God. So we will understand how God works. If God does not come until we reach zero in whatever situation we are, then it does not mean that we need to lose our faith. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Our duty is to rejoice in the presence of God. Our duty is to praise him. Our duty is to worship him. And out of gaseous atmosphere, God will create. And out of nothing, God will create what we need and what is important for us. But God will wait until all hope is lost. One man prayed to God and said, God, why do you wait until the last moment? And God said, so that you may understand that it is not the hand of man or the hand of Mother Nature, but it is the hand of Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, that saved you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11 and 12. And as we are turning to that verse, we remember the vision that a brother had who used to worship with us. There was chaos in the universe, and the equilibrium and the balance of the planets was disturbed. And the moon started approaching the earth. And as it started approaching the earth, there was fire in the sky. And the people in the world knew that a substantial portion of those who live in this planet are going to perish. And this brother Darrell saw the Church of the Living God, worshipping God and glorifying him. And suddenly the trumpet sounded and the Lord Jesus descended with a shout. And the rapture took place and the saints were caught up. The moon kept advancing, but the bride was in the arms of Jesus, going straight to the throne of God. God does wait until the last moment to see our faith. And that is why Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 and 12. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is the audio clear, brothers?
Oh, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Jose?
What's that?
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. If we read in these verses, Ezekiel 37, starting from verse 11, Ezekiel 37, verse 11 says, then the Lord God Almighty said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts for our parts.
The house of Israel was crying to God, saying, our hope is lost. And then the Lord intervenes. Why does God intervene until the time that hope is lost?
God waits until we come to a point where no human being can save us. God brings us to a point where nothing material can save us. It is impossible for God to manifest His power and do miracles and signs and wonders until we come to a point where we are not relying on anything but God. Hallelujah! And when we come to that point where we are not relying on anything but God, and sometimes God has to bring us to that situation so that we will forsake our belief, we will forsake our faith in human beings, and we will forsake our faith in material things, and then God begins to manifest His power. These bones were saying, there is no more hope. And then God started prophesying unto the bones, saying, oh my people, I will open your graves even if you're dead. And it's been many years since you died. I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened the graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. God waited until Israel lost its hope. Was it wrong to lose hope? Did God wait till Israel made a mistake? The hope that God is referring to is not hope in God, but hope in human beings and material things. We as children of God should not hope or put our trust in any human being. We should not put our trust in anything material. Some people say, well, you know, we need to put our faith in doctors. Well, what will you do when you have fourth degree cancer and there is no more hope and the doctor says you've got 6 months to live? God sometimes waits till we come to a point where all hope is lost, and then He begins to manifest His power. Because it is only when we completely lose our faith in human beings and property and everything material, then the faith of God begins to work in us. How does that happen? Because when you plant a seed in the ground, in order for the seed to bear fruit and become a tree, that seed first has to die. And Jesus said, except the seed fall into the ground and die, it will not retain the glory that it needs to retain. And the seed dies and sprouts, and then it becomes a tree, a beautiful tree. And we see its glory as the fowls of the air reside in it. All hope is lost. All trust in our physical strength is lost. And then God starts working. This is the typical thing that we read in the Bible. This is the typical characteristics of God. When we keep hoping in human beings, God will say, okay, let him wait till somebody helps him. If we keep trusting in property or physical things or physical strength, God will say, okay, I will wait till, you know, he can figure out whether his physical strength or his material power can provide for him. And then when we come to a point of zilch, God intervenes. Let us turn to Mark chapter 16. Verses 2 and 3. Mark chapter 16, verses 2, 3, and 4. Hallelujah. Actually, we can read up to verse 6. Mark chapter 16, Gospel according to Mark, verses 2 to 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We read in Mark chapter 16, starting from verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And as the sun rose up, they came to the sepulchre. It was just beginning to dawn. The sun was coming up. And they said among themselves, "These are sisters in Christ who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre." And there was no human being that could roll that stone away, for it was very great. The disciples had fled. They were in a deep chamber in the house where the Romans could not find them and the Jews could not figure out where they were. They were well hidden. And the women said, "This stone is too big for us. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" All hope was lost. And in Mark 16, chapter 4, when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Who rolled away the stone? They went into the sepulchre and saw a man sitting where Jesus was, on the right side, clothed the wrong white garment, and they were frightened. And Mark 16, verse 6, "And that man said unto them, Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where you laid him. The answer that you wanted to your prayer has already been granted. The stone has been rolled away. God rolled the stone away. Your Jesus, your love, your bridegroom, your brother, your God, your Lord, and your Master is risen, because the grave could not hold him." And the hope that was lost began to get revived as they knew that Jesus was alive. Today, whatever situation we go through, we need to understand that we don't serve a dead God, but we serve the resurrection and the life, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks with us and talks with us. And is at the presence of God the Father praying for us. He is risen. He is risen. Let us turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Let us read Luke chapter 5. Let us read verse 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Second verse, sisters. Verse 2. Yes, sister. Second verse, sister. Luke chapter 5, verse 2.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Standing by the lake. Is that the one again?
Yes, sister. That's the one, sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets."
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now here we see the picture. Jesus is preaching. The people are pressing upon Jesus in verse 1 to hear the word of God. Jesus is between the people and the lake. He needs a ship to enter and preach. He needs a podium. He needs a safe place where he can preach, because the people are pressing. They've never heard God speaking. And now that they heard God speaking, they were not willing to give up. They came closer and closer to Jesus. And as Jesus was almost in the lake, he saw two ships standing by the lake. The ship was empty because the fishermen had left and they were washing their nets. They had lost their hope. And he entered into the ship of the man who was going to be the chief apostle in the first century, Simon Peter, the son of Jonas. He entered into the ship, and Simon Peter had already lost his hope.
He said, "That's it, guys. Let's get back home. It is hot. It is over. Let's go ahead and wash our nets because we will not catch any fish. There is no more hope." And when all hope was lost, Jesus told Simon Peter, "Why don't you get a little further away from the land so I can give my message?" And he sat down and taught the people from the ship, and Simon heard the message. And after the message was given, Jesus said, "I have a blessing. I have a miracle. I know all hope is lost, but I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Jesus said, "Enough of this seashore experience. Enough of this playing with sandcastles. Enough of this wetting your feet in the waves that roll to the shore. Enough of waiting for the waves." And he said, "I want you to row into the deep, into the presence of God, into the glory of the throne of God, into a life and a relationship that is powerful, that is intimate with God." He said, "Fix your relationship with God. Go into the deep. Get into a deep relationship with God and then let down your nets." And when Simon Peter had done it, he became Peter, rock. For he enclosed a great multitude of fishes until the net break. Yes, it is true. God says, "When there is nothing, I will create." God says, "When all hope is lost, I will raise up the dead." God says, "When you know there's no one to roll away the stone, I will roll away the stone." God says, "When you have given up and you're washing your nets, I will come and I will manifest my power." Get into the deep, into a deep relationship with Christ, and then let down your nets, and I will bless you with blessings, spiritual, physical, material, financial, until you will not be able to contain the blessing and will have to call your friends and relatives, because the net will almost break. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. One of us, as the Lord gives guidance, let us pray for these words that the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.